Webinar with Adam R. This episode of 3PNR was hosted by Deb from the Calling All Beings Podcast Network, and it featured Tyler Transu from Dockside Media.
Jojo, part of the Calling All Beings Podcast Network. Today I have a special co-host who's Adam R. of 3PNR, who is a podcaster with a fresh, open-minded view of the unexplained. He has an interest in a variety of topics, including UFOs. I asked Adam to join me today because he's a fantastic podcaster. He has done over 100 episodes on 3PNR and can be heard on multiple podcast platforms. He has joined me also today to talk to Tyler from Dockside Media, who has been producing paranormal documentaries on a variety of topics, including ghosts, Sasquatch, and UFOs. Tyler is also part of TT Productions and has been hosting Curiously Insane on YouTube. Tyler has been working with Chris Rupert to create multiple films, including Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure, Secrets of Sasquatch, Ghost of Gettysburg, and is working on an upcoming documentary, In Plain Sight, The Intelligence Community and UFOs. The work presented by Dockside Media reflects numerous hours of hard work, sincere interest, and a desire to reveal more about the phenomenon. I will also add that, Tyler, you also often come across as extremely humble, despite being very talented and very motivated. So I appreciate that about you.
Well, Deb, my heart's about to explode right now. Number one, that's very nice of you to say, and it really means a lot to me. And it helps me to be mindful of that, right? Because like I'm easily excitable and having a lot of fun. So some people can maybe take it, the wrong way. And I'm just, man, I never have any ill will towards anybody. Also, let me give you a quick compliment. Yo, that intro was sick. You did a really, 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 really good job.
Well, thank you.
Be proud of yourself.
Do an extensive amount of research before I talk to people, believe it or not. I even know your kid's name now.
You are awesome. You are. Well, I'm endeared to you for life now. So
well done. Thank you so much. And your kid is cute, by the way.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, he's a great kid.
I'm one of those people, like, I interviewed Bob Salas, and he said, you have to read my book first. And I said, okay, I went and read his book, and I found out something other people seem to miss when they interview him.
That is so sick.
Right. So, and also speaking of interviews, you have spoken to some friends of mine. So that was exciting. Like we talked about, actually, before you came in, Adam and I were talking about one of the people you've interviewed, Rick Doty.
Oh, man. Dude, that's awesome. It was a sick experience doing it. I love the cloak and dagger stuff of it. Like interviewing, Rick Doty, interviewing retired CIA officer John Ramirez. He'll be in Plain Sight, the Intelligence Community of UFOs. And, dude, I love hopping on these planes and landing at these airports, all my camera gear and stuff all on my back, getting the rental car, looking over my shoulder, like, dude, it's great. And then showing up and they're like, oh yeah, the CIA, they're aware you're coming to interview me and stuff. I'm like, oh dude, I'm in a Jason Bourne movie. Let's go.
Really? John told you that?
John Ramirez. He's like,
I'm CIA. Surprised.
Yeah.
Wait, so, like, so that means that when John does interviews with people, he has to okay it first?
I don't know. I don't know. It was specifically for a document. I don't know if he's running everything by them. It was interesting when he did that PowerPoint presentation. We're going back a little ways now, months ago. But, that he sent that to the CIA to, sign off on.
Yeah, I remember. So, and he said some of it was not approved, and he is hoping it will get approved.
Yeah.
What was it like talking to Doty?
Adam, so great question. Without seeing your face, Man, it's tough not seeing your face because I can't get a read on you, bro. But Doty, so here's what's up. You know, I try and I just try and be respectful of everybody because, dude, if I lived your life and walked in your shoes, I'd probably think a lot like you and talk like you, you know, if I had those experiences. And if I had the positions I had and people were directing me to undergo certain tasks. Right. So I was like respectful, just treating him like a human. He, you know, being a counterintelligence officer, like former counterintelligence officer. What do you want to say? Dude, he came off very genuine. To me, he seemed very genuine and kind and down to earth. But I don't know. Is that how these people were trained to be? Because the way you gain somebody's trust, you know, like I just, whatever. To me, he seemed genuine and honest and nice. But was he just using the skill set that he was taught? I don't know.
I've been trying to reach out to that guy. I could tell you from watching him on, you know, some of the networks and some of the documentaries, he's very engaging. He's charismatic, right? When, you know, typically when you're in a position to be counterintelligence, you have to, by example, use psychology, right? I mean, they study psychology. They understand the human behavior. And so why I want to speak to him is I kind of want to get him in a position to ask him questions that I don't hear others asking him, like his opinions. Mm. Never did anyone ask this man his opinion. They always asked him questions directed towards, well, what about this or what about that? I would love to get you did? I said, I got to watch your episode. I'm excited for that now.
you got to watch my interview because some of my questions were opinion based. I think a lot of what he's doing actually is based on his interests and personal buy-in. So that leads me to a question for you, Tyler. What got you on this path?
Fate. Maybe it was a Pontee. It might have been Sue Walker's Pontee. Chris Rupert, who's the other half of Dockside Media, and he couldn't make it. He's on a family vacation right now and poor service. But, yeah, man, the universe is a crazy, crazy, crazy thing and synchronicities and whatnot. He and I grew up in the same neighborhood, went to the same school, weren't great friends, knew of each other. But here we connected. Both of us kind of got into independent filmmaking around 6 years ago. Me personally, it was just on my cell phone making a silly trailer called The Dino Slayer, just like on a whim. I just saw a trailer, movie trailer during a commercial. I'm like, huh, did I? It's only a bunch of like 1 second, 2 second, 3 second clips strung together. I bet I could do that. And grabbed my son's toy Dino, who was like two at the time, taking a nap. Went outside, shot this little fictitious trailer called The Dino Slayer, which you can still find on YouTube today and Facebook, etc. And put some background music behind. I'm like, dude, this is so fun. And it just lit that spark inside me. And I've been going hard since. After like a year of shooting on cell phones, started getting cameras. And man, it's like that 10,000 hour rule, dude. I've been going. And have just been fortunate with most things in life. If you keep doing something, naturally you're going to get better at it. And if you really love it and have fun doing it, man, I feel like the learning or, you know, the you can increase your skill set exponentially. And so, yeah, Chris and I have been doing this independently in August here of 2021. So like 10 months ago, Chris was like, hey, do you want to start making documentaries? And he was like, what about like paranormal documentaries? Because I think he's into horror and sci-fi. I was like, that'd be fun. And we hit the ground running, was going to do the Seven Gates of Hell, which is about a local urban legend. I'm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and there's a little township across the river, the Susquehanna River, called Hellam Township. And they have this old myth about the Seven Gates of Hell. If you go through these seven gates after midnight, after the seventh gate, you're instantly transported to hell. So we were going to do that. And then I stumbled upon Anjali's story on Reddit and saw that she was going to be giving a public press conference in front of the Lincoln Memorial on August 17th. to disclose extraterrestrials that she had been in contact with, and that she was forming a team to go on an expedition to gather data, right, to provide to the public and do more research. So I'm like, ah, what? Dude, the courage, it takes a lot of courage to go stand in front of the Lincoln Memorial in public and say the things that she said. So when I saw she was doing that, I think it was like a week before, I was like, Chris, I started this stuff on Seven Gates of Hell, but what if we pivot to this, man? This is like, people are going to want to hear this, and we'll find it. We'll know what to do with it afterwards. And so I ran down to DC. It's like a 2.5 hour drive, recorded, ran 3 cameras and the cell phone live feed, because some people there were having issues with the live feed. And man, I drove my buns back and threw the data or the footage on a computer and started editing this like little trailer real quick. And I'm like, Chris, bro, we're getting this distributed, man. We're getting this picked up for distribution. And then I'll let somebody else talk, but you know, that's how Conscious Contact Full Disclosure came to be. And man, we had it done back in November, Deb, Adam, mm-hmm. back in November. It took until like January of 2022, or the beginning of February, whatever, for us to like manifest 1091 Pictures picking it up, who we needed to pick it up. So like, that's how we kind of got into it. We're interested in the stuff. You can make a engaging content. And I just like the whole thought provoking aspect, man. We need people talking about this stuff. Like stuff, if people were talking about iPhones 100 years ago, they were crazy, dude. And look how ubiquitous though they are nowadays. So right. Same deal talking about consciousness and telepathy and things of this nature, while it might seem out there now, dude, in 100 years, when we have right. much better technology and understand the universe better, dude, it very well could be commonplace.
To Tyler's point, I'm gonna expand on that. So referring to the gray aliens, and they're saying they spoke to me in my head.
Oh, wait, Adam, are you expanding? You cut out maybe.
Oh, did I cut out?
No, I got you. It's okay. I think that there's some weird stuff going on. Latencies. But it's okay.
So what I'm saying on that is, once upon a time, the gray aliens, people would say, well, they're using telepathy, et cetera, et cetera. Like, bear in mind, that might have been, we have Bluetooth now. Right. And so if you went back to like the 80s and said you could put this thing in your ear and talk to someone else from across wherever, they think you're crazy. Right. But it's Bluetooth. It's commonplace today. You're talking about a sophisticated life form that's advanced by more advanced just by, I don't know, maybe 1,000, 2,000 years. This might be Bluetooth, their form of Bluetooth. Because if you think what Elon Musk is putting out, that Neuralink. In some time, when Neuralink's in the beginning of Neuralink, it's going to be to help remedy some medical conditions. But eventually, you're going to be able to communicate with people with no words. Just send images right to their mind.
Right.
And so we're just getting there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to your point, though.
It makes me think of the future human hypothesis so often. You know, it really is the case that all the things that we're describing, of course, we're just all doing it from a human perspective. But when we're describing all these things about what's happening with these experiences, we're also striving to do those things
right.
at the same time. You know, you can have a personal flying saucer now if you want.
Yeah.
And you can have one that's controlled by a robot if you want. Can't go in the water yet.
If you took your cell phone back to like the, I don't know, like the 17th century, 16th century, you'd get burned at the stake. You're a witch.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's mankind. That's how we think, right? It's kind of funny. You're like, wait a minute. That's really, you see what he did? That thing he pulled out of his pocket has pictures in it. Yeah. Kill that dude. He's a devil.
Oh, yeah. Access to any information you want at your fingertips. Right. Yeah. It's like, what? Dude, no way. You got to go to this massive library, use your Dewey Decimal System, and go find the right book, and then read all the way through it till you find that one little answer you're looking for.
Yeah, and even then, there's always some guy in the cottage that's like, oh, I've been around a long time, I know more. So you go to a library, look up what you want, but I know more. There's always a hierarchy. Unfortunately, today, with technology, the kids are smarter than everybody. Like, you could reference the University of Google or the University of YouTube for any information and really do some real digging.
If someone wants to, though, and I think that's the difference. Not everyone is looking. Like, I've seen videos on YouTube where someone's like sitting and looking at something ridiculous, like a toaster, and it has 5 million views for whatever reason, right? So we still have to have that motivation. And luckily, I feel like both of you have a ton when it comes to answering these questions and exploring these topics. I know I saw Tyler when you were talking to Chris in one of your podcasts. You actually said the next thing you want to look at is maybe reincarnation. So, yeah, I mean, you're tackling all these big questions. And I feel like if you kept going back to them, even after you did it the first time, you would find more content. There's going to be more and more and more. Actually, I have an idea. I just thought of something. I have a growing team of people that are going to be in my state soon. And some who are in New York and some other East Coast states are talking to me about maybe going to Blue Book and looking at stuff. I think it would be cool if you did a movie just about what it's like to do this research. Like, I want to see the real story. Like, I want to see, like, I'm tired of these sensationalized movies when the reality is so much freakier. Because it's real.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No, that is interesting. And you can't help but feel like at times, yeah, life imitates art, right? Here's all these science fiction things that people have been thinking up forever. And it's like, oh, dude, we've realized a ton of those. And yeah, to Adam's point and to your point, Deb, just the evolution and the exponential growth in technology. It's, man, I'm 37, dude. I went from Pong to PS5 virtual reality, where I'm flying a jet. And if I'm not sitting down and I make the turn, I fall over because it's just like, wait, what? Like, what the hell? Like, and same thing with this Neuralink. One of the other crazy things I remember I saw in an Elon Musk interview where it's like, oh, dude, well, once this is fully functioning, right, you know, now you have the ability to replay a memory, but you feel me, like, it, you're not replaying it in your mind's eye. It's all here in front of you. So when that happens, it's like, oh, shit. Well, are we in the replay right now? Did one of us have a Neuralink, you know, 10 years from now? And it said, oh, dude, yeah, let's replay that memory from Deb's Data Dojo. And right now I'm just sitting through here watching it and saying this as I'm talking. Like, who knows, dude? Shit's going to get crazy.
Do you know what you just made me think of?
Go ahead, Adam.
You just made me think. Remember Spaceballs? And they rewind. He's like, where are we at now? He goes, it's us. But it's us now. That's what that made me think of. Like, he got to the point of time where he was seeing himself in real time. And he was looking back at the camera and he's looking. That, when we get to that point, like you said, that's going to be insane. Because we're moving to meta. That's coming. Right. It's unavoidable now. It's going to happen.
It's more than going to happen. It may have already. And I'll explain that in a minute. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah, it's concerning to me because Deb and I were talking prior to the podcast. We're about, you know, Google had their AI systems and they were communicating. They made their own language, and when the people came around, they got quiet. You know, that should scare the hell out of people. So I don't know, but what you said about seeing things and seeing memories, because really, what a memory is it's you with data in your mind trying to reconstruct an image, and it's never going to be accurate. But what you're discussing, if that comes to light, that's a game changer.
And what's great is that if that data is stored incorrectly, like from the beginning, like that's your reality. It doesn't matter, right? If I said, oh, the car that ran into me was blue, like, dude, if it really was red, it doesn't matter. Like, my reality is it's blue.
Right.
And my memory, everything is blue. And so, yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of mass consciousness to hold this whole reality, right? And things, oh man, I don't know. This stuff just all trips me out, and I love everything about it. It's like this whole thing about, like, dude, Johnny, not to get into Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, but obviously, I believe Johnny Depp paid a PR firm a ton of money, where I don't care where you went, if you're on social media, you most likely formed an opinion about Johnny Depp, and it was most likely favorable. And it didn't matter what that jury came out with. Like, dude, he could – I'm not saying anything about Johnny Depp. Don't come at me, Johnny. This is hypothetical. But, bro, if you are the worst human being in the world, it doesn't matter. Reality, what everybody thinks, says otherwise, right? So the only one that he's really a bad, horrible human being is like him. Like, he would be the only one that knows that. Right. That's the only reality. Trippy stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, O.J. Simpson example that, right?
Yeah, so I was going to say a couple things about this. One is that I was recently looking at Indigenous Australians. People used to call them Aborigines. I've understood that maybe that's not a very popular thing to call them anymore. I don't think that's necessarily what they would call themselves. So I think that was the bigger issue with that. But anywho, I was looking into them, and they have a term that is basically like every now. It means everything happens now. Hmm. So, I think about Groundhog Day when I think about time stuff, and I hear people say, you know, there's no such thing as the past or the future. It's just now. And I think time might be more of a, you know, of course, it's a construct, it's a measurement that we use, but it's also more about movement and moving forward than it is actually about what we think of as time, right? So what if we are just repeating the same day and every memory is a download that gets put into us every day? And you know, there's been other sci-fi movies that have touched on that concept.
Yeah, like, so that's a good point. Because how would you know if you're being, if we're speaking in terms of, there's an energy source that's putting these downloads to you, what we know is reality. The only real reason we know time is because our physiology shows it by age. Cause for me, I don't know, maybe not everyone, but me, I remember things from my past. Like they were like, I was like, what that just happened? How's it been? What, 10 years? That's crazy. Like, I think that way, but then again, I'm kind of immature in a lot of ways. So, yeah.
And it's weird what sticks in there, right?
Yeah.
There's like some very innocuous, like, I just have some childhood memories that really are like, dude, that was, why do I remember sitting on that hill or what? You know, it was like, dude, we were doing nothing. It was, you know what I mean? Like, just weird things that it's like, oh, dude, there was a ton of profound, say a touchdown scored or something. Man, I can't remember that, right, in this game. But I remember, yeah, just weird little things. And why is that burned in there? I don't know. But I feel like, yeah, Deb, to your point, it was, I think there's a theory. What is it like? I don't know if the theory is like last Tuesday or something like that. But something basically like, oh, dude, everything was created on last Tuesday. And, yep, everything's just hard-baked into your, yeah.
Well, a lot of scientists are so – again, to the point of both of you, you could walk. You live in your house. You're there some years. Your brain knows the layout of your house, and so, you know, most things that you're seeing with your eyes are delayed, anyhow, right? Because there's from the brain, it's not as instant as we think it is, which is why if you get a pen that's silver and you wave it in front of a light, you'll see a little bit of a trail because there's a latency there. That being said, if you're walking through your house, are you really seeing it in real time or is your brain just recalling it for you, right? And it takes something like someone to move a lamp or something, some light to be on or something abnormal for you to take recognition of a real-time image.
Yeah, actually, our level of perception of reality is greatly reduced based on, you know, a lot of research that scientists have done. We don't see all the colors. We don't see all light. We don't hear all sounds. Our brain will literally cut out a huge chunk of the environment around us. In other words, it only allows us to deal with what we can, right? So the memories that we have are actually just a tiny sliver of our reality anyway.
It's truth. So let me hit you both with this question. Based on that, let's talk about near-death experiences. What are your thoughts on that?
There's so many thoughts. I find them fascinating. I think that would be something I'd watch your documentaries for too, Tyler. Hint, hint, hint. Near-death experiences are awesome. So I find like a lot of people who have them end up with this like deep understanding of something that I wish that I could experience without having that near-death experience, you know? But I wonder sometimes when they come back and try to explain it, if they just don't have the correct language. One thing that strikes me is they often say when they die, they're surrounded by this strong sense of love. And I'm like, is it love though? Or is it just something that that's the closest term they can come up with for? Because, and what I think it would actually be is you're probably surrounded by like high levels of energy. Personally, that's my opinion.
I'm hopeful of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the near-death experience, I don't know enough about it. So, yeah, I should probably do research on it and make a doc. Great plug there, Deb. I think it's interesting that, man, I'm trying to think who else fell into this category. But, like, Anjali, if you researched her, she had had a near-death experience prior at, like, a hospital. Where I'm trying to recall this correctly. I forget if somebody came into a room or something like that. And a nurse or whatever came in sometime later and she said, oh, so-and-so came into my room. And the nurse said, oh, they had passed, you know, a couple hours ago or whatever it was. So like, yeah, I don't know, dude, is there something where when that happens, you can access interdimensional, like just do you have a higher or heightened senses or something or access to other things? I think it's quite possible. I like this whole thing. Like, yeah, I guess I don't know for certain, but I feel like when you die, I've heard like DMT is released.
Yeah. I was going to say,
right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but the same thing, there's enough people that have done DMT and they all report about these elves, right? They see these elves. So it's like, do these elves inhabit this other dimension, or is it that one person, the first person, saw something that resembled an elf? It spread across like online forums or whatever. And then since everybody went into the trips or the experiences thinking of elves, then they manifest. I don't know, but it's weird that a lot report that.
I've studied both of these, so I find these fascinating. So when it comes to the DMT, they actually have multiple experiences, not just one singular one. But there are some patterns. So it really is a question, is it a social influence? Are they like picking up on something that they saw on TV, like the movie Leprechaun or something? And then like it's so the brain is spitting it back out, you know? So it's a question that's really interesting. Do we all just kind of go into a place in our own brains when we're meditating or having those DMT experiences, or which, by the way, I've never had, or, you know, any of those other like near-death experiences? Are we going into ourselves and retrieving this stuff, or is it external from us? But then if you get like really deep, it's like you think, therefore you are. So is it really separate from reality? You know, does that make sense?
I got a couple of theories running. One, we know to a certainty when you have a traumatic experience, your brain goes and it dumps chemicals to compensate. You know, like you get into a car accident, things appear to be in slow motion, right? That's your brain. It's taking a lot of information in. And most times when you get, it'll put you in a numb state. And that, what people call it a state of shock, but it's your brain saying, all right, we need to protect the mind. There's a lot going on. Let's shut down, right? For people with near-death experiences, or some of the people I'd spoken to, they've had, you know, one had a brain aneurysm, another one was in a car wreck. And like you were saying earlier, your brain will dump chemicals to cope with the traumatic event. And hopefully it's not the case that they're dumping DMT and these near-death experiences are just a chemical reaction where they're on a trip. Right now, flip the coin. Like you're saying, some people take DMT voluntarily and they go to these places and they see these beings there It seems, and like Tyler said, it seems to be a lot of people. This isn't like an isolated thing. And that being said, when you have a traumatic experience or near death, that same DMT, is it opening your ability to have perception to see something you otherwise can't perceive in this life? Are you bridging, the gap between the two worlds?
I do think there's like an evolutionary prerogative, right? So maybe that's the same thing that gets triggered when you're nearly dying. Your body suddenly like, we need to protect you, see everything, know everything, be right. more aware.
Right.
Right. That it could be what's happening. But I will say an interesting case to look into on this is the case of the man who was a neurologist who died and had a lengthy near-death experience. I believe he was on New Thinking Aloud being interviewed about it. He wrote a book. I think it was something like Trip to Heaven. I can't even remember what it was called, but I watched his interview and he talked about his understanding of neurology and how he kind of self-analyzed himself when he was going through the near-death experience and like did some checks and things like that. So, you know, it's interesting because doctors don't think that they can understand near-death experiences fully. There's a lot of investigation that's going to be required to really figure that out. And how can you, right? Because if you've died, you can't really come back and say, oh, by the way, that was true. That's what really happened to people.
I think you should be concerned if you ever meet someone and he says he's an expert in near death.
You know? Yeah.
Good point.
You should be very afraid of that person.
You guys seen Flatliners? Not recommended.
Yeah, exactly.
That the Kevin Bacon movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw that a minute ago.
Yeah, some guy says he's an expert in near death, and you imagine that movie and some of the shit they're trying? Phew, forget it.
Wow, yeah, I got to go back and rewatch that.
So, Tyler, your documentary is about UFOs. I want to ask you, not so much about the documentary, what's your opinion on UFOs and aliens?
Dude, it's a big universe, man. Like massive, and you know, big enough that I feel like there has to be some other intelligent life somewhere. And if they happen to follow any type of evolutionary path, that like technological path that we have, well, bro, in 100 to 1,000 years,
yeah,
man, the shit we're going to be doing is going to be insane. I mean, we're talking how far has CRISPR come, right? Gene editing. Yeah. I mean, these things are just in its infancy, but another 100 to 1,000 years, dog, that stuff's cracked. same thing, CERN. We're colliding. Humans have done so much investigating, right? We got all the way down to the atom. Then we're like, oh shoot, dude, there's something smaller. I think the Higgs boson or whatever. Like, and we find these things out by having mile long tubes and shooting like electrons at each other. How crazy is that?
That's right.
I mean, that is insane. So another 1,000 years? God, dude, anti-gravity propulsion systems and stuff like that. Like, it could be commonplace. Our kids will be like, bro, like, our great-great-grandkids, how did you not see that this was the link, how you utilize that? It could be something very simple. You know, it's crazy how, like, you know, my 8-year-old son, dude, he'll run laps around 50-year-olds, 60, 70, 80-year-olds on iPads. You know what I mean? Like, dude, kids just intuitively understand how to go about this stuff now. Mm-hmm. And so, man, and I try and be hip. I try and be cool. I try and keep up with all this stuff. But, man, my son drops new slang. He's dropping stuff. I'm like, what, dude? What are you talking about? I got these new, this is a plug for Hey Dude. These Hey Dude.
I'm familiar with them.
Here's what's up, dog. 2 years from now, I'll probably say these are the most hideous things I've ever seen. But for whatever reason, right now in the universe, it is cool to have these. So I have them and I feel good about it. But dude, if you would have wanted to give me these in high school, I'm never wearing these. So yeah, dog, I think it's definitely possible. And not only that, it's like, well, are we not sending probes? Are we not sending the James Webb telescope out into the universe? Dude, are we not just investigating scientifically you know, tribes, like uncontacted tribes here on Earth. And when we see them, we're like, damn, dude, well, we can't F with them, because if we do, their whole reality will crumble. And there's some guy in that tribe saying, seeing a drone or seeing a plane, say, guys, I think there's like more to life than what's going on around here. And those people are like, bro, you're nuts. Drink some more ayahuasca.
There's they're like, that's a dragon. Cut it out.
Yep. This is it. So why would we not, or why would other intelligent life not be monitoring us and not interfering? We would most likely do the very same thing.
And I thought about that too. I think they call it cargo religion when we interfere with a tribe or get near a group, and then our technology kind of influences them. And they talked about that when they, you know, talked about World War II and our planes interfering with some local people, and the people started trying to make fake runways because they saw food coming out of the planes, and they thought maybe they would get food if they had a fake runway and a plane would come and bring them food. So that's where that cargo religion concept came from. But yeah, I think about it too, like when we deal with gorillas, for instance, and to these entities, you know, we might be gorillas.
Exactly.
What do? We sit at a distance. We try to videotape them. We try to understand what they're doing. Then we go make a documentary. So maybe in some other place, deep in the sea or deep in another solar system, or even in our own, in a hidden little moon, someone's watching a human documentary.
Oh, no, we're definitely a channel. This is the most interesting channel in the universe. People are crazy. If you watch just people and get an idea, here's an example. I go on Facebook. I see these videos of people. It's anywhere from like these heartfelt things to fist fights at Walmart to some guy who's playing pranks on people. We're crazy. So to your point, we're definitely the National Geographic channel. So example this, right? We're being watched by a sophisticated civilization. We're a documentary, essentially. Like when we're examining animals in the animal kingdom, we're not supposed to get involved. If another animal's killing the animal, it's nature. We can't do nothing about it. But if we hit one with the car, now we're obligated. We did that. Travis Walton, for example. I think Travis Walton ran up, got hit by the car, and they had to fix him. That's their job. Like, damn it, he got hit by the car. Now we got to fix this guy. You know?
Yeah, but they did it for him, but they don't do it usually. They often harm people. There's lots of accidents and injuries related to UAPs.
Right.
Damage, and they don't do anything to fix it, which is kind of a point that's been made publicly by Lou Elizondo, that these beings, if anything, are neutral.
I would think so.
They don't stop us from blowing each other up. They might mess with our nuclear stuff, but they don't stop us. They don't control us. A lot of people, and I actually really appreciate that you spoke to an elder in your documentary, by the way, Tyler. I would love to speak to him because I'm very, very interested in speaking to indigenous people with an oral tradition from centuries about this. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, that they're just here to really experiment or explore. They're like we are. We would be explorers too. What would we do if we went to Mars and found a civilization? The exact same thing.
Yep.
By the way, I just want to point out again, and I keep making this comment, we are the UFO on Mars. We have a UFO on Mars right now.
It's true.
As far as any living being on Mars is concerned, we have UFOs on Mars.
It's true. Yeah, we've invaded. If tomorrow we went to another star system, we found a planet, and more than likely, and what Tyler said earlier about there being life everywhere, and I agree with Tyler, it doesn't mean all life is sophisticated. It could be that they're in their Bronze Age. It could be they're in a Stone Age. They could just be water trapped, right? How smart are dolphins? Well, why didn't dolphins evolve further? Well, they're trapped in their environment, and they can't utilize tools. That's the best of their evolution. You know, within the timeline that we give them. Give them a few more million years, they're coming out of the water, maybe. I think if we find another planet with a civilization that's intelligent, And people have this misconception that we would just go there and take over. We can't breathe their air. So we would have to have a hybrid program. And a hybrid program doesn't happen in one generation. You're talking millennia, very long time to have a successful hybrid program. And before we did any of that, let's say Jeff Bezos, the billionaire club, they're going to space. They find out there's another civilization. It's going to go viral. It's too late. They're not going to stop that, right? I mean, I think that's why we're speeding up these disclosures personally, is because the billionaires are going up. Because Jeff Bezos is going to want to know how to put Amazon over there. Period.
I agree. Between the private, just private sector going up into space, the James Webb telescope, I feel like maybe people, hands are being forced where it's like, God, dude, you know, James Webb telescope, dude, it pulls something that some data is saying, oh, dude, there's signs of a past civilization or current, like, yeah, that's kind of, man, that's going to be far out. And so in my head, I'm spinning electrons, hope, trying to manifest that. That's what I want to hear. And Deb, I love what you said about, thanks, mad props on the Zuni elder, Clifford Mahudi, that was in our documentary, Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure. Sadly, you're going to have an NDE if you want to speak with him. He passed away maybe like 4 months ago. So it was great. He passed away a few months after, or maybe like 5 months or whatever, after I interviewed him. So number one, like, I feel truly fortunate that I got to sit down with this guy that, bro, these stories that have been passed down from elder to elder to elder to him, talking about star nations and star people and all the research he's done with indigenous tribes, talking about star nations, and sometimes the words are different, but they're using a lot of the same stories. Like, so I'm just one blown away that I got to even sit. What I was going to say is, dude, so like the stuff that's been shared with him from elder to elder to elder to dude, like it goes back like pre-Christ, right? Like pre-Christianity. Right. So who's to say that Christianity is more correct than what the Zunis were talking about for way, way, way longer, you know? Yeah, and dude, also, if you watch the doc, Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure, knowing that he's passed and some of the things he talks about, like, I hope these things get out before I pass and that I can write these things down. And it was just, and then different like prophecies and stuff that were taught to him or shared with him from like elders and dude, it's just crazy, like current events in the world today and stuff. And you're like, oh, dude, that is really wild that I got to interview him.
I spoke to a shaman recently, part of the Sauk Nation, which it got combined with another nation. So it's like, I don't want to say it and get it wrong, but he's, you know, not the original nation's name. And we talk a lot. We talked a lot about the origin stories and how old they are. And, you know, I had recently spoke to Grant Lavoc, who studies Australian UAPs. And we talked about the Native Australians then. And I studied those origin stories. And these stories that kept passed along, they are based on reality 100%. And I watched a TED Talk about a Native Australian who was making that point. You know, our people have been passing on this story. By the way, Bigfoot is popular there. Also, they call him Yowie. We've been passing on this story for centuries. And then it turns out that we were probably pre-existing with this particular creature that is now extinct, because we found the bones in Australia of this creature and it matches what we were saying in the story. So it'd be foolish for people to ignore those stories. They exist for a reason. They exist from a reality. I'm not 100% sure why so many stories all over the world involve a rainbow serpent yet, but that could very well have been a Tic Tac, because one of the things that happens with the rainbow serpent is that the rainbow serpent swallows people and it flies through the sky. So I don't know. And it doesn't actually, it's not rainbow colored. It's, you know, called that for different reasons, but it makes me go, maybe it's lights on the craft, right?
Right.
Maybe that's why it was called rainbow serpent. I don't know. But I just think it makes me wonder.
And that's crazy too, because the only, like, their brain, when they're seeing that thousands of years ago, like, the brain tries to make sense with, like, what they know of, right? So, like, a serpent, like, yeah, a serpent, flying serpent sounds, like, perfect.
Well, when you look at a light,
that's what their brain would see.
When a light flies through the sky at a rapid rate of speed, there's going to be, like I said, we're seeing, we talked about it earlier, what we're perceiving is there's some latency, so they're going to be in a trail. If you get your flashlight right now, go outside and whip it around back and forth really fast in front of your friends, it's going to appear to be a trail following it, right? Because that's the latency of our vision. So for them, when you're talking about something that's not breaking the sound barrier and it's traveling by, obviously, it's altering space-time, however it may be doing, whether it be a frequency or something else, to them, that trail is it. That's the snake in the sky. And like Tyler said, what do they have then to compare it to? They had really nothing. So
it's really fascinating how many things are shared by these ancient civilizations, our passed down to modern ones, you know, across the entire world. These old civilizations worshipped gods that had animal heads, and we've built pyramids across the entire world, you know. So you wonder, what was the original civilization that everyone splintered from to do these things? Because there had to be some point when it was everyone had a common civilization that believed this, and then they all went, we'll go out into the world with it. And if you listen to the documentary, the elder says this was all given to us by the star people, also known as the sky people. This, all of this information, all of this comes from them. So could it be that that's what happened, that before the Mayans, before the, you know, Egyptians, before all that, there was one civilization that was given this gift of knowledge and then dispersed?
Right. An architect, if you would, someone that shared a blueprint, because you're right, there's pyramids everywhere. And it can't just be that all these historical ancient people built things in a similar way that stood the test of time, might I add, still around. There's stuff we built in the 70s and 80s. It's barely around. You know what I mean? That gave me pause the first few times I read about it. Because if you look at the ancient Sumerians, they have that tablet that this depicts the our solar system accurately, including Neptune, something we didn't even know about till really late in science. And, you know, how did they know that? From the planet Earth, how do they look up to? If you look at Neptune right now with the naked eye, you're not seeing it. You're not seeing it. And they didn't have to, as far as we know, they have telescopes. So yeah, there's definitely someone that shared some kind of knowledge with them, and that information somehow is lost to us.
Yeah, it's not entirely though. Right now, people are trying to figure out how to capture some of the native Australian astronomy knowledge, right? And people know about how the Vikings used that shiny crystal to navigate. So we know stuff. We just, anything that was pre-writing, we might not have any clue of, right? We don't even know all of the hominids, which is, you know, going to lead me to, of course, Bigfoot, which you have also done a documentary about, Tyler.
That bad boy, Secrets of the Sasquatch, is coming out July 5th. That's coming out July 5th, baby.
I know someone who's DJ, who is part of Calling All Beings, is a huge fan of the Sasquatch. He will probably want to talk to you about that. He's a huge fan. He looks for him. He goes out into the woods and tries to look for him.
Dude, that's where I was, man.
Gigantopithecus.
Love it.
Right? Is that right? Right, Tyler? Gigantopithecus.
Correct. And he's mentioned, we had in Secrets of the Sasquatch, one of the people is a anthropologist, Tom Carey. And he brings up Gigantopithecus, correct.
Right.
That, you know, that has been documented, right?
Yeah, it's in the fossil record. I mean, that's undeniable.
Yep. So, man, Deb, you said something earlier. What was it? Something. This fascinates me too. Maybe it was the Lou Elizondo. You brought up Lou Elizondo, but I like his comment about, you know, like what happened 70,000 years ago.
I looked it up.
That propelled, you know, humans to the top of the food chain to be the apex predators. And were they? And to Adam's point about all these old things like the pyramids, right? And these old civilizations. And I love when somebody or Lou asked somebody, hey, if you wanted to leave something here on Earth to tell somebody, you know, a million years from now that we were here, what would you leave? And I forget if they're like, oh, like a diamond pyramid or something, maybe that. And he's like, nope, million years, that's still gone. Dude, you would put it in their DNA. That is where you would share, you would leave the note in the people's DNA. So it's like, dude, maybe there's something in our DNA. We just haven't got the technology evolved enough to be able to like break it down enough. But I find it very interesting that like Lou Elizondo is bringing up or has been bringing up hybrids. John Ramirez is bringing up hybrids. Rick Doty's bringing up hybrids. Dude, everybody seems to be bringing up this idea of hybrids, whether, and I don't know, I feel like that could be a number of different things, you know, whether it's aliens just took, say, like primate DNA and like boop, 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 like manipulated it to separate, you know, Homo sapien and like humans are special, or was there some sort of, you know, like alien DNA impregnated or like that way into human, like this whole, like, you know, what were some of the reports that came out a couple months ago about, you know, like the radiation, unexpected pregnancies. I don't know if you saw that, yeah. But that sounds a lot like, you know, like immaculate conception or something like that. Right. Like, I don't know. Maybe these things are explained by aliens.
I don't know if you've seen Geraldine, who is in The Seeding, Unexplained The Seeding, I believe is the full name. She talks about the hybrid program. She says she's one of the people who's had her, you know, children through the hybrid program and been introduced to them. There's lots of experiencers talking about being a part of that program, being monitored in that program. It's a long and winding path, which of course I don't think the government's prepared to address. Because it and some people think Eisenhower signed up for it. But that's a whole nother path, right? Did he sign up for that? Did he say we could go ahead and just give away some ovaries? I don't know, but I will tell you, I looked up that time period because it was such a specific time period that was mentioned by Lou Elizondo. And there was a natural event of some kind, like a natural disaster event, according to anthropologists. And it resulted in what they called genetic bottlenecking, which implied that at one point in time, the human population, or I should say the Homo sapien population, to be clear, because there's so many hybrid hominids that meet us, by the way, because we are really hybrid hominids. That's what ended up happening. But at one point in time, that natural event occurred and it reduced our population down to 1 to 20,000 on the whole planet at that time. So that's what I found looking up that specific time frame he was referring to. The genetic bottleneck theory.
That sounds like a project got scrapped. You know what I mean? Like, all right, this isn't working out well. We need to reduce the rats over in section 2, file 3, 3449, blah, 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 A. Scrap it. They're not working out. The rats over in section 3, 4, 5, blah, blah, scrap it. It's not working. But these guys here are doing okay. Let's see how it goes.
I don't know. The dinosaurs kind of went out the same way, right? Do you think they got scrapped?
I may have. I just saw an article today. I don't know if it was on Motherboard, like who's owned by Vice News or what. I mean, it was like a decent source, but it was said like scientists were speculating like, if the dinosaurs had not been wiped out, would they have evolved to sentient beings?
Oh, you like, know, I did see that.
And bro, that like, and like, and I'm not, I'm going to do, or I did what 95-99% of like most people do when they're consuming information. I read the headline and I looked at the picture and I got a good idea of what it was. It showed, you know, basically like the dinosaur and then like a reptilian.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which people, so it's like, oh dude, I don't know. That's crazy that they've done the,
Well, like we said earlier, think about this. What we were talking about earlier. If we weren't here and you gave another few million years of evolution to the dolphins, would they emerge from the sea?
You know, that's kind of what happened with wolves. Their ancestor was an ancestor that stems from whales, right? So, but the truth is we still have whales. And then I look at some other species. Some primates haven't really changed. We're kind of special in the fact that we got where we are.
Agreed.
The fact that we do what we do and we change so much over time is kind of special, because there are creatures on this planet that have been here for a very, very long time. I was just watching a special about, there's this underwater worm that has, they found fossils for it like millions of years ago, and then they found more recent fossils, modern day fossils of it. It makes like little cool shapes in the bottom of the ocean, right? So they know that it's been around a long time. It hasn't changed in all that time, really.
Well, that's because it doesn't need to evolve. What it needs to survive is plentiful. It doesn't need to. So now let me give you an example. People don't realize this. There's one creature on this planet that evolves daily, and you'll never guess what it is. Take a guess what it is, Tyler. What one creature on the planet evolves daily?
Dude, I feel like I'm going to strike out. I'll say humans.
No, it's roaches.
I was going to say viruses.
Roaches have been proven that I watched this study about it. It blew me away. They were using sugar baits to kill these things once upon a time, and they recognized they were dying from it, and so they no longer ate sugar products. They started going to different types, sorts of products. Everything we make to exterminate roaches, it's like they figured out. And then roaches also are able to, not only are they asexual, but they could adapt to any environment. They actually alter their physical being to their environment, which is why there's so many different kinds of roaches as they travel. You ever see these little German guys? The German roach, the little guys, when you turn the lights on, they scour, they run. Here in Florida, we have palmetto bugs. You turn a light on, they look at you like you have a problem. Like, you know, like you turn a light off. You know? So, but they evolve rapidly and they learn. Like the fact that roaches recognize that sugar bait was killing them, they just stopped eating it entirely. When I saw that, I almost died.
But are they sentient? Like, that's where we start getting into conundrums, because I put that question out recently.
Right.
I asked people, what is the smallest sentient thing that we have? And there was a lot of debate back and forth. Some people said, well, maybe ants. Some people said, well, maybe fungus. Some people said, well, maybe viruses. Like define or amoeba, right? Like it's defined sentient. That's where we start having some trouble, because what I'm talking about is not just the ability to eat food. Because let's face it, a lot of creatures have plentiful food,
right?
And not just eliminating predator concerns. Which, well, let's face it, we still have predator concerns,
right?
I'm talking about making art. Like, to me, that is the mark of true intelligence. Some might say that when birds make a nest, that's art, you know, but come on.
That's instinct. Yeah, that's instinct. That's a completely different thing.
We're talking about, not only do we make it, but we share it with each other. We trade with each other for it. You know, we're at a different level. So why, even though the ancestor of the dinosaur stemmed off to make crocodiles very closely to around the time of the dinosaur, millions of years ago, right? And the crocodiles are still around, and the crocodiles are the top of their food chain. Why are they not walking around reading books or writing or doing art? Why are they not building better houses? Why are they not just cooking their fish or whatever food they want to eat? Why are they not eating us as easily? Or why are they not on the top of the food chain? Why are they not special like that? You know, why are they kind of still basic?
I think what separates us is our self-awareness. And what gave us self-awareness is a good question. To be self-aware means you can make art. It means I want to play music and stand out. I want to do a documentary and discover. I want to have a podcast and bring up interesting subjects. One guy made a Picasso. He made these paintings. I think they're hideous, but some people think they're valuable. You know what I mean? The point I make is self-awareness is that. And do I think we got an evolutionary boost? I think so. I don't think that we should be as intelligent as we are currently. Because if you look at, like you said, the some of the creatures that have been around since the before us, like she said, prime example are reptiles like alligators and crocodiles. They predate us by a mile. Why aren't they bipedal? Why aren't they reading? Why is there a gap in the evolutionary chain with humanity? Something gave us a boost. Something happened.
Do you think? Is it? Here's another thing Lou Elizondo brought up, which I find good food for thought. Is how did he phrase it? But like, oh man, I'm trying to think exactly. Basically, like, did our lives get better as some like unintended benefit? Kind of like, for example, dogs and how their lives have markedly got better since we started domesticating them, right? And the purpose is like, oh, for protection and things like this. So like, are we being used as like Tom DeLonge has put, like for loosh, right? Are our emotions being harvested by interdimensional beings or other entities? Is there something that runs off conflict? Because like, for as long as humanity's been around, like there's always been conflict, right? So there's like, people are always there's something going on, and that energy or whatever, that loosh, that stuff that's created, right, is, are we being farmed?
Could be,
we could be, bro. Like social media is insane, man. Yeah. Like you can, and what has like been proven that like, you know, they can turn a dial up or down, right, to increase
the algorithm to
like,
get that.
The algorithms, right, and like the emotions, and like there was that this dropped like, I don't know, man, it was a long time ago, 2016 or something, about Facebook, how they did that study where they like, without asking anybody's permission, I forget if it was 100,000 people, whatever it was, they manipulated their news feeds where they only showed them negative posts by their friends, or they only showed them positive posts. And sure enough, everybody that was only shown negative posts were posting negative posts themselves, right? Their life became drearier.
It's because we're negative. Tribal and we look for positive. Lead.
And they stopped it. They got, but you know, but like, dude, it doesn't matter. The data was already collected. They already knew exactly what they want. Damn, dude, we can influence people easily.
I don't know. I think I got to say, I think we're being played with, but I don't think we're their battery. They don't need us for a battery. They might not even really need us for entertainment, even though they get it.
Well, you got to consider something else though, Deb, to achieve what they have achieved. Let's say two parts of it. One part, they traveled the vastness of space to get here. To do that, you didn't do it by being an individual. You're a species. You're working together in concert perfectly. To go to Mars, when we terraform Mars, when you get the application to Mars, I promise you what you're not going to see on the application is a box stating your race, your religion, or your politics. None of that shit matters over there. What can you contribute to the colonization of this planet? They don't care about any of your ideologies, any of your religions. That matters none. So that being said, if you're a species and you traveled the vastness of the universe, and who knows how long it takes, whether it be interdimensional or otherwise, you had to do it as a colony. Now, do you lose things like empathy? Do you lose emotions on that trip? I mean, it's not... That's just an idea anyway.
I get upset about this part because I am, you know, that's my field, the mental health field. And everyone always assumes that they don't have feelings because it's not shown on their face. The feelings that we express to each other, we do for a lot of different reasons. One, to communicate to each other. They don't need to do that, right? They don't need to use those facial expressions. Allegedly, their communication is telepathic. Right. Another thing, they don't have to use facial. They don't have to use body language. Another thing is I deal with a lot of clients who look very apathetic, who look very flat. We call it a flat affect. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't see expressions on their face and you make assumptions about how they feel, but they're often wrong. Like, people don't know how someone feels entirely based on the outside. So to assume that these creatures or entities, or I call them people, don't have feelings based on their face, which doesn't express things the way a human would, is a big mistake, in my opinion.
Not so much their feelings about, because of their facial expression, but so let me ask you this, Deb. With the psychology of people, would you imagine you gather a group of professionals, like, all right, listen, we found a star system, it's in blah blah blah, it's going to take 1.5 billion years, we're going to cryo freeze you, you're going to wake up every 2 years so there's no atrophy. That's a long trip. So you're basically asking a group of humans to travel the vastness of space, both in cryogenics and then non-cryogenic, right? What's the psychology when you reach that location?
Right. So that's why I kind of lean towards a couple things. When I do this research, you know, I know you don't want to get like pushed a different way, but my research is pretty broad and is on everything. Okay. If you look at my website, the UFO Connector, I touch on everything. But when I do the research, most of it is leaning towards this is not from outer space. Most of it is leaning towards this is something that's on our planet and has been for a long time. Huh. So, in fact, if I try to find extraterrestrial evidence, it's very rare that I find anything. The furthest out any of this goes isn't really even very far past the moon. And that could be where a portal is, for all I know, right? And those portals are also on our planet. People describe them on our planet, and they may not actually be leading to another place in space. They may be leading to potentially another dimension, some people say, or maybe they just lead to another spot on the planet.
I'm going to make Deb smile, Tyler. You ready?
Okay.
Hear it.
So every military pilot who's reported these unidentified objects noticed one thing in common. And David Fravor stated it unknowingly. They go from 80,000 feet, roughly the borderline before space, down to 0 feet at the water. He saw the object hovering above another object, essentially underwater. Now, what Deb says, they could be just outside the moon. So I had time to run a theory. I have a wild imagination. It's an unhealthy thing sometimes. So the point I make is, that sounds like a system where they're coming from a place that they call base outside of our planet, just behind the moon or whatever it may be. And then they have this system where they have one thing taking them down to sea level. And we're not sure of their technology, but perhaps it's just using their energy, putting them into another thing that takes them underwater, bring them to another location that's below the surface is where they reside. This sounds like a system. Everything that these pilots describe, the tic-tac, again, going from 80,000 feet to the surface of the water, then something underwater taking over from there and taking them elsewhere, sounds like a transit system to me.
Well, let me say that's very interesting, Adam. Now, that's a great point. But I'll say this. I know, like when you mentioned, man, if they're traveling 1 million years, cryogenic freezing, things like this. Well, like, I believe science is now established quantum entanglement and spooky action at a distance, correct? Like, if I spin an electron here clockwise, if I had the instrumentation, we can measure an electron in Deb's room spinning counterclockwise at the exact same time, faster than the speed of light, right? There's something connecting those two points in time. And so if that's true, you know, and we can't see that thread, but I can't see the Wi-Fi signals bouncing, you know, all through here and everything else, radio frequencies, all these things. Like, it's a matter of just, then if that's true for my office and Deb's office and Adam's office and anywhere I put anywhere I measure a point, right, I have to observe it. Like, that's like the whole caveat to this thing. It's like, well, it only happens when it's being observed, right? We don't know what the hell's happening when it's not.
Right.
But when we observe it, at that point, can we just, do we just harness that ability? We could, you know, I guess that's where quantum computing is going, correct? Where we send that data instantaneously. So at what point are we sending objects instantaneously to any whatever data point or GPS point we want anywhere in the universe.
Well, they did state that you could alter, we alter things by perception, right? Like the atoms and things in space, like they may not. I just recently read that what an atom on the other side of the universe would react to the same as the one that's here almost instantaneously. And so it's,
you know,
it's
where we get those ideas of parallel universes and things like that too, right? So I think a lot of this goes into quantum now, even the way these things fly, they're really focusing on some theories and trying to understand if maybe they missed something. And anyone who's even looked at the theory for gravity or relativity or some of the core aspects of physics realizes that, you know, there's some things that may have been missed. There's some things that they're still trying to figure out. Some forces that they thought were stable and staples to physics are, you know, being questioned now. So I think we're going to get more answers with that. But the problem is a lot of people think of science as, you know, that's it. That's the fact. The scientists said it. That's it. But they forget that scientists are always questioning those things.
Yep.
Einstein's theories are still in question. They're still finding things are not correct. Stephen Hawking's, his work, you know, the spaghetti around the black hole, all that stuff. He was working on that with people near the end. They're still trying to figure those things out. They don't have all the answers yet.
I say this a lot, you know, and I hear it's a shame when I hear people use science to belittle people's thoughts and theories and hypotheses. Today's science came from a theory yesterday, and yesterday's theory came from the imagination of a child. That's just how it goes, you know. And if you don't have imagination and wonder, there's no purpose in science because there's no real, you know, you're not. Why do I do this podcast, people ask me? Well, it's very simple. I'm questioning my mortality and the things I call real. That's why I do it. I want the answers. So I'll give you guys both. I'm going to ask a question. I always ask everyone this question. I'll ask it and then have Deb answer it and Tyler take a shot at it. What's going to find the truth behind the paranormal first? Is it going to be humans or is it going to be AI?
Oh, I think we already have. We already know a lot of stuff. Actually, I think that's, you know, if you ask very smart people like John Ramirez, we already had the technology picking this stuff up, right? And then the AI might fine tune that knowledge and help us calculate some things. But our sensors, which you could also consider AI, I guess, have already picked up a great deal. And I know you interviewed Dr. Wilbur Allen, right?
Yes.
So you know that the technology we have now is picking up what's going on, which is, by the way, something I wanted to mention earlier. There's multiple things happening, right? And I think we're going to discover that one of the things that's happening are there are, in fact, some kind of living creature that's in space. And I think that's what Dr. Wilbur Allen is filming, and other people have conjectured this. That's not the same thing as the UAPs on the planet, although sometimes those living things show up. This is something else that's going to get figured out, is what I suspect. Hmm. But okay, yeah, so that was my answer.
Man, so the answer again was who figures it out first, humans or AI?
Right.
Oh, man. It's tough to say, dude, because like I feel like humans, for whatever reason, like this subject doesn't really carry weight until the government says it's real. Like, and so I think we've had some cool progress with like government hearings, right? And Gildebrand Amendment, like all these things. It's like, oh, dude, well, that's pretty dope that these old politicians are at least asking for the information and the data that these pilots are reporting in these different, the Navy, like the Air Force is still kind of absent this whole thing, which is like highly sus. But man, I don't know when the government does that. And AI, I don't know. Do you think, is it smart enough to come to the same conclusion that perhaps the government is at? It's like, oh, well, dude, yeah, this stuff's happening, but we don't have an answer for it. We don't really know. And if we tell people that, then that just freaks them out even more. And does AI say the same thing? Like, we cause more harm than good.
You know what? Actually, I just thought of a little problem with the AI thing that you made me think of. A lot of people say that these objects mimic other objects. So AI is probably not going to pick that up. Only a human is going to be able to figure out that cloud isn't moving. Mm. It hasn't changed shape. Why is it not moving? Why is it blocking out half the sky, not moving or changing shape for 5 days? You know, that's what a human can pick up. But would an AI get that? I don't think so.
Not sure. Cause I'm going to reach out to someone that specializes in artificial intelligence. I know the guy well, or I don't know him well. I've known him. I didn't know he worked in artificial intelligence until he told me about it when I was doing a podcast. Otherwise he shot pool. He's a doctor. But, I say this because one of the, a friend of mine asked me this question. He goes, well, what do you think about like AI and like maybe AI, maybe we're in a, here's his thing. Maybe we're in a simulation and everything we call parallel to our normal is part of the simulation, anomalies in the simulation. And this put me into a weird rabbit hole because like I said to myself, if it is a simulation, how the hell would I know? If it's that fine, if it's that advanced, it's been around for millennia, how would I know? And I'm one of these people. How do I hack it? Cause I want to hack it, you know?
yeah,
I don't, the answer to me on AI, it's moving rapidly. Elon Musk is constantly warning us about this. He even said at one point it might be too late. And when you hear a guy who's very practical, very intelligent like him say it's dangerous and it may be too late, AI, if it detects anomalies on, and I can't even say anomalies. I'm saying anomalies because it's different than me. It could be just, listen, they predate us. There's energy here. It's normal. Maybe we scare them. Who knows? If it detects that, through the view of AI, who's the real problem here on Earth? Is it the paranormals or the humans? Because how many wars you hear amongst ghosts on the news?
Okay, well, I'll say just in my experience, when you guys said earlier, you know, we've improved our lives, I don't know if that's true. Like, I really look to the lives of our indigenous people and the lives that they had before and the freedom, you know, and just, granted, we've always had warfare, which is terrible. But, like, nowadays, do we even have time to, like, just go outside and touch a tree or, like, you know, just go sit and be quiet for a little while? I barely have time to do a painting. You know, like, did we make our lives better or did we make our lives more complicated? But, you know, when it comes to AI, I would love to see a documentary about that too, Tyler, because I feel like there's so much going on with AI. There's people who are working on actually educating robots to learn on their own. And there's people working on getting them to feel. And then there's people working on them, getting to them to actually see, you know, not just recognize and videotape, but like do both at the same time, see something and understand what it is. So there's so much going on with AI, and that's not even including the brain part, you know, the part where they're giving them just massive amount of information to work with and then create their own languages. But, you know, so
scary business.
I love that stuff.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there, was it yesterday or today or something about some employee or whatever reported that, you know, his AI was sentient? I don't know. It's so hard to say. Like, was it just taught well enough via machine learning that it knew the replies to appear sentient and that it had feelings? And like, it's far out. Like, dude, what, have you guys seen the movie Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
What a great concept
that really made me think, man.
Wasn't that dope?
Yes.
Like, dude, I'm like, oh my gosh, dude. I love that type of thought-provoking content. And that's what we're trying to do with our documentaries. It's like, dude, just get people thinking about these things. Right. I think as people talk and think about this stuff, get it on a mass consciousness, get it destigmatized so that people can openly talk about this. A lot of people have had weird experiences they couldn't explain, and they just, I just my brain, I just need to block that out. I have no idea how that happened, but I don't want to be labeled what, you know.
Yeah. There's different levels,
whatever
too.
It is. And if people start talking about it, it's like, dude, we get answers. Like, I think that's what we get.
There's a lot of levels, though, Tyler. A lot of levels. I'll tell you what AI, especially, and what Deb's kind of talking about. Well, Deb and I had this conversation pre-podcast. Google had a couple of AI programs that were, they created a language, they were communicating, they, you know, the whole radio hushing. But how reliant are we? Well, example, I'm wearing a Garmin Venue 2. This watch tells me when I sleep, what my heart rate is, what my stress is. It just informed me 5 minutes ago that I need to have water, right? And not that I'm just listening to it. I'm dependent on this little small tech, small AI. It tells me a lot of information. Troublesome is if artificial intelligence starts dictating how we eat, drink, sleep, our fitness, our psychology. Where's the line? Where does the line end? Is it blurred line or is there a line?
Well, it's going to become part of us. And then that's where that loop goes, where if it becomes part of us and then we become capable of, you know, learning about time travel. And then we have the neuroscience stuff going on where there's like AI and robotics inside of us. Then could we be the ones that created the UAPs and came back in time and started the loop? You know what I'm seeing? It's the paradox. Like, could we, because everything we're doing is parallel or chasing after what UAPs do, right? Or the technology that we recognize from UAPs. So I just like, it gets to me all the time. Like, well, I can't rule it out. It's possible because we're trying to do all those things. On my webpage, one of the bigger sections is the man-made or human-made technology, which I mix with future human, because anything we're making now could lead to that being true.
It's true.
You know, so.
You know, an archbishop believes that. I had an archbishop on the show. I ask everyone, what do you think about aliens and blah, blah, blah? And sure, it could be. It's acceptable to the archbishop that, yeah, it's perhaps us from the future and not here to help, but to make an observation. It might be class, might be school trips. They might be watching. I could subscribe. Listen, I come to everything with a very evolving mind. I don't sit here and assume to know everything about anything. I'm always going to learn something new. So an example, I had a kid make me think, a little kid. Little kids ask me about life on another planet, and he's like, why can't they just be different than us and they don't want anything to do with us? They picked up our signal. So I was like, you know, I never thought of that. Because look at all the movies and the wars that we broadcasted. You think they, let's say there's another civilization within reach of us and they picked up our signal, like, wow, we gotta block these people. They're crazy.
Well, let me put it this way. We talked earlier about there's still some people on the planet that are not technological people. They're right. Still very tribal. They're very centered on just living their own lives, and we don't mess with them. Because what happens when we go in and mess with them? They shoot arrows at people, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So what did we do, supposedly, when we saw entities we didn't understand or that freaked us out? Supposedly, we have shot them several times.
Yeah.
So what would they do in response? The same thing we're doing with some of those groups of people. I want to say they're in South America. I'm not 100% on where they are, but we don't go mess with them anymore, do we? But we do try to observe them from a distance without messing with them or interfering with them, because no one wants to get shot with an arrow. True. Even though the arrow probably wouldn't kill us, it might not even successfully do much to us at all. It might just nick us. No one wants to get shot with an arrow, so they leave them alone, right?
Yeah, we would want to watch them evolve without disrupting them from a distance.
Right. Well, but the thing is that, you know, on an emotional level, I find that very boring. I want to just talk to the entities or people.
Same here.
You know, yeah. I just want to talk to them, and I think they want to talk to us, and I think that's why people have the experiences that they have, and I think that we're getting closer to it slowly anyway, because it's happening more and more. It's like a big red flag is being put up. Pay attention to us. Pay attention to us.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming to a head.
Is that where all these religions came from? Were all these different religions just, you know, one Deb, E.T. way out there and said, I got it. Just let me have a little bit, like just right. a little influence on their direction, because I believe they're going downhill if I don't do this.
Right.
And did that just happen periodically throughout history?
It's funny because that was one of the things I talked to the shaman about in history. What parallel stories do we hear? We hear about a sky god who comes to humanity, gives them something, gets in trouble for it, but does it anyway. Like, for instance, the apple in the Garden of Adam and Eve, or Prometheus and fire, or, you know, so on and so forth. They get in trouble. They give, in some of the origin stories, it's corn. They give the people corn. They get in trouble, but they do it. And angels in the Bible also came down, bred with humans, got in trouble, but they did it. So you could be right there, Tyler.
What happens to religion, post full disclosure? What happens?
Well, I think, I noticed Catholicism, like they had said, the Catholics had said, other intelligent life or whatever would be fine. You know, we just have the doctrine or something for like here. However, it was real crazy. July 2021 here, before they gave, or June or July, whatever that first UAP task force report was. I noticed that an article was trending about the Catholic Church saying that extraterrestrials were possible and didn't interfere with their doctrine. And I'm like, dude, that's crazy. What was also crazy was that, yo, that article, that statement that the Catholic Church made was like 3 years ago, right? But all the media sites like trended it right then, prior to the UAP task force meeting, congressional meeting, which is insane, because it's like, oh, dude, if I didn't tell you that right now, anybody who came across that article that didn't actually like read it and see when the print date was, everybody just assumes, oh, yep, they just made everybody on Earth would just assume, oh, they just made this statement, yep, right before this.
I mean, that revised idea from the, and that's released from the Vatican, right?
Yeah.
They take the VAT. Now that very same thing we just said, based on that, on history, they're like, sure, aliens are real. God made them too. And then they got to pay taxes and they got to, you know, come pay money on Sunday and we'll baptize them. Right. Yeah. Now you go back to the 15th century, say, hey, there might be life outside the planet. They're going to put rocks around your legs and throw you in the water. Now, if you drown and die, then he was a good Christian boy. But if he doesn't, he's a witch. You know, it's because, unfortunately, because back then, you know, the empire we know as Catholicism, you know, they were the ruling fist. Now there's technology. You can't lie to people anymore. Your kids today get on their phone. They know shit faster than you can explain it to them. And with technology, we're going to find life elsewhere. Imagine if the Vatican are having this meeting, like, oh my God, we got to talk about this. They're going to know. They're going to know now. You know, we need to change the rules, guys.
Okay, so this has actually been something that's been talked about a long time. There are academic papers on this topic that's been going back for a while. But Congress paid a good $1 million for religious figures to sit down and figure out how to convey to the public if extraterrestrials were found. $1 million went to that. They would sit down and talk about it. Then NASA got more people to talk about that. That was a big stink a little while ago. It just kind of was a little bump, though. People noticed it and then they ignored it. So they've been talking about this behind the scenes. They're worried about it. They're concerned. It's no coincidence that space thing happened in a cathedral. They're trying to marry the two subjects together, right?
Incredible.
But what did they talk about throughout that whole thing? the UAPs came up over and over and over in that National Cathedral event. So I'm just saying this, the idea of religion and extraterrestrials or UAPs has been married for a while. Huh. And I'm one of those people who doesn't see a conflict personally. Cause
I don't either. I mean, look, religion's a great thing if you don't have a very charismatic psychopath at the helm. Because believers,
a cult leader,
we have seen what blind faith does. Blind faith, no proof needed faith flies into buildings, right? No proof needed faith has people in a building saying he's the Messiah and we should all fight the police together and get burned alive. Blind faith is dangerous shit, man, especially in the hands of well, let's face it, we're slightly more advanced monkeys, you know?
There's a few words that I've noticed because I watch documentaries about cults. Also, another good thing to do, documentaries about cults, especially UFO cults. No one's done that one.
Ooh,
yeah.
Cults are really hot right now. But okay, if someone says they want your money so that you can evolve or learn more, and they say they have protocols for you to do it, and they have technology for you and steps for you to evolve as a person, but you will have to pay more money, run away.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, when you walk through the door and like, listen, we got jumpsuits, Nikes, and juice. You guys, who's in?
Yeah, don't forget, you know, Kool-Aid.
Tyler, if you do this documentary, I'm going to ask you this because this is what I want. Very few people have tackled it. They don't do much about it. It's very dead end. If you do it, I'll go with you, man. The Vatican. What do they know?
Oh, man.
I'll go with all right. you. I'll kick the door with you, man.
I share that, but you could start with asking the Dr. Pasolka. She went to the Vatican.
Yeah.
And you notice that she veers away from everything she learned there, but she did get some information on those flying shields. It popped up and remote viewing.
I tried to get an interview with her, a while back when we first started doing it. I think I tried to get her in conscious contact, full disclosure. I think she was tied up or something at the time.
Oh, my God. If you did a documentary on UFOs and religion in general, yeah, that would be explosive.
Oh, for sure.
I'm all about that, man.
Dude, I love everything about it, man. I'm into all this stuff. All this stuff is fascinating. Yeah. I think that, I don't know, keeps me young, man. Being curious about these types of things. And I love, Adam, I love your mindset, and that's where I'm at. It's like, oh, dude, I just try and be open-minded. Like, I really wouldn't rule anything out.
Right.
Because, man, if you would have asked, you know, a 13-year-old me who knew everything in the world, right, if, like, about where I'd be at today and all these things, dude, I'd be like, wait, what? And, Deb, to you, back to your point, though, earlier of, like, oh, are we that much more advanced than we were previously? It's like, oh, dude, for me, right place, right time. Like, who knows if I like I'm 37, right? Like, I started filmmaking when I was 31, you know, like had a career in marketing and sales, and just like, dude, the fact that I could start on my cell phone, YouTube videos, just read all the information I ever wanted, right, on cinematography and screenwriting and direct, all these things. Like, dude, it's crazy that I've taught myself all these things and been able to, like, upgrade, buy equipment. And now it's like, oh, my gosh, dude, if we want to make conscious contact, full disclosure, like 20 years ago or something, 30 years ago, man, the drone shots alone would have been $1 million worth of helicopters and physical film and all these massive cameras, yep. Right? So it's like, I think the advancement, I think the humans are in a good place, at least for my journey personally, because, like, dude, I just am thankful every day that, man, I live in this day and age where I can teach myself filmmaking on my cell phone, then move on to cameras, gimbals, drones, get my remote pilot's license. But, like, I hope I encourage anybody out there listening or watching, like, dude, I'm nobody special. Like, you can do it too. Like, our you know, disagree. Like I believed this stuff
you
could
were
happen.
Special, Tyler. Don't you say that?
No, all I did was believe that I could do these things,
yeah,
and then kept
moving my
feet.
But you don't only believe, you jump off the diving board, and like you have to, you know, other people need to be pushed. But I see you jumping, and you swim in the deep end, like you do it, and I see your fervor and your excitement and your open-mindedness, and you're just, you know, pulling not only the information around you in to use it, but you're also like really acknowledging and respectfully addressing it with your interviewees. So,
and he's got energy. Amazing. He's got good energy. Like, I ask this question to a lot of people, especially when I talk to cops on the podcast. Like, when you watch these, there's a show where Lenny DePaul's been on my podcast. I love this guy. He was on a show called Manhunters, right? And he was a U.S. Marshal, and they'd go after some dangerous people. Now, I would ask him, who out there is in the most danger? And it's always the camera guy, if you think about it. You ever notice that when they're running after a criminal, the criminal's running? The camera guy is always right there. Like, he's right on him. He's running just as fast with a camera. He's always in the heart of danger. And you have that energy, man. You have that energy. It's great.
I love it, man. Dude, like, Secrets of the Sasquatch, right?
Yeah.
We're out there. The one camp out, it's me, this girl named Desiree, and this guy named Eric Hubbard. And they've got, like, an IR camera walking down this trail, dude, middle of nowhere. It's like dark night, dude, just spooky. And I'm like, ah, bro. And they had like a flashlight with a red lens on it, dude. It was so sick. And I'm like, oh man, dude, I need a shot. I need to get out in the woods, be looking back with my camera so I can get this cool shot of you guys walking along this trail with some depth and pan the flashlight beam into the trail. And dude, so I'm out there in the dark, nobody with me, no lights, anything. Like, dude, the hairs on the back of my neck, straight up, just like, dude, I feel like I'm about to just get beep, snatched by a Sasquatch and nobody will ever hear me or see me again. But I got the shot, and so I'm alive. It worked. But it was like, I love that stuff, dude. And we're going up to, here's one you didn't know, Deb. So we've got so Secrets of the Sasquatch comes out July 5th. In Plain Sight, the Intelligence Community and UFOs, I'm thinking late summer, early July. We've got like another week to finish editing it, but then it's like a 70-day delay or so after we give it to the distributor. But, yo, July 9th to the 10th, we're camping out at the Pioneer Cemetery, which is in the old ghost town of Pandemonium in Pennsylvania. I was up there last week doing an interview for this guy that like knows the history of it. And just, it's like, it was really sick. Dude, this cemetery is insane. It's like really well kept for being out in the middle of nowhere. I have no idea. Like, most likely ghosts attend it, paranormal and whatnot. They're keeping it looking nice. But dude, I love it. We have a group. And if anybody listening to this prior to July 9th, hit a Dockside Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, and join us, and you can be in this dock, because, dude, it's like the old ass cemetery is in State Forest. Like, we can camp there legally, yo. And I'm just like, oh dude, I love these adventures, man. These are once in a lifetime experiences. And so I go out there with just an open mind, positive energy, not trying to be disrespectful. We're not obviously camping right on these headstones. Will be in the cemetery like filming and stuff, but I'm not gonna like be disrespectful and put my tent up on these graves. But dude, it's if you guys are around, you need to come, because it's gonna be sick, dude. It's gonna be sick.
Well, I have to say, we're near the end of our interview, unfortunately, and we didn't even get to go into ghosts, which I love too. I think they're fascinating. If anything, I might have had more actual experiences with ghosts based on, well, I don't know. There's a lot of crossover. It's really hard to say. I have no idea. They might be the same. So one day we'll have to have another conversation about all of that. But unfortunately, because we're like past an hour and a half, and I know people who are listening to podcasts probably don't even go past an hour and a half. So for me, I do a lot of listening in my car now. So that's about 30 minutes at a time I can do it. But so I'm going to go ahead and let Adam tell everyone where they can find him, and then we'll switch over and let you do the same, Tyler, and any last messages that you're going to have, because I know people really should go check out your work. It's a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of really hard work and a lot of excellent quality interviews where you just let people share. So, Adam, please tell people where they can find you.
You can find 3PNR on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, pretty much anywhere. iHeartRadio, it's everywhere. So there's 3PNR, and that stands for 3 Perspectives Neutral Research.
Okay, great. Someone asked me that, and I didn't actually have the answer for that, so now we know.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay. Tyler, can you please let people know where they can find you in a little bit, you know, a little background or anything that you want to finish with?
Yeah, I'll keep it pithy because we have been on here for a minute. But again, I'm Tyler Trancy with Dockside Media. That's right, the dopest documentary production company this side of Milky Way. Dig it, dug it, dagnabbit, let's go. Check it. You can find us on, and also Chris Rupert, who couldn't be here. He's the other half of Dockside Media, and he's a big part in it. He does the final edit on all the documentaries, as well as he's a great graphic artist, man. So, like, dude, he makes all the posters for us. I mean, we are just yin and yang. He's a little bit lower energy, I'm high energy, and dude, it allows us to really crank out some really, really interesting, entertaining, and thought-provoking content, paranormal content. So we're on Facebook, that's Dockside Media. We're on TikTok, which we've been getting some good popularity on there. We also do these 1-minute mysteries, which are just really 1-minute, 2-minute little interesting videos, high production value, and just get, you know, some food for thought, get you guys thinking. We're on Twitter at Dockside Media and on Instagram at Dockside Media. And then you can visit our website, www.docsidemedia.com. That's DOC Side Media. And there you'll have links to Conscious Contact Full Disclosure, which is out right now, as well as The Ghost of Gettysburg is out. They're on Amazon, iTunes, Apple TV, Google Play, PlayStation, Microsoft, and Vudu. And then we got Secrets of the Sasquatch coming out July 5th. In Plain Sight, The Intelligence Community and UFOs coming out late summer, early fall. And then Ghosts in the Graveyard, Pure Pandemonium, which will be coming out probably early fall.
Well, again, you two are very impressive people, open-minded, willing to look for these answers, willing to try to solve the mystery with other people, elbow to elbow, so to speak. I love it when people want to work together on these things. So thank you so much for coming and sharing with me today, to both of you. This is Deb from Deb's Data Dojo, part of the Calling All Beings podcast network. If anyone's looking for me, you can find me at Twitter, LinkedIn, all over the place at Study of UAPs, also at the UFOConnector.com, or on Calling All Beings on YouTube. Thank you so much to everyone that listened. Have a great night, day, morning, etc., and take care.